So I'm going to pray, man, then we're going to hop into this word tonight. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we bless you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this place. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just come in and flood this atmosphere, God. Flood this atmosphere, God. We just welcome you, God, in this place. Would you come and move like you've never moved before? If we could all just lift our hands nice and high in the air and say, Jesus, tonight I'm here for you. Would you change me? Would you wreck me? Would you ruin me for normal? In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, so we believe that a quiet church is a? We believe that a quiet church is a? So tonight I want to start a new series with us just coming off of camp and even a little bit before camp. But I'm calling this series, Hello, My Name is Revival. Can somebody turn to your neighbor and say, Hello, My Name is Revival. Come on, somebody say Revival. Woo! So a few weeks ago, man, is that we talked about what revival really was, is that revival isn't planned meetings. Revival isn't even longer church meetings. Revival isn't just having really good services. But we define revival as this. We said that revival is when heaven invades earth so much that earth begins to look like heaven. Come on, that earth begins to look like heaven. How many of you guys want earth to begin to look like heaven? Come on, I don't know about you, man, but my heart burns for earth to begin to look like heaven. Man, is that revival is when an unexpected move of God happens. It's when what is dead is brought back to life. And a few weeks ago is that we gave you guys a bunch of stories on the histories of revival. I don't know if you guys remember, but we talked about the Welsh revival. How many of you guys remember the Welsh revival? With a man named Evan Roberts, and Evan Roberts would pray for 13 years every day, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and God, bring revival to Wales. Then I believe it was one day, somewhere around the 1904, man, that God just shows up in Wales to the point where just God begins to move crazily, and people begin to shut down their businesses. Then all of a sudden, people begin to just to flood these church meetings that Evan Roberts is having. And then all of a sudden, like, people begin getting radically saved, like, all over the nation. I mean, radically getting saved to the point where, like, you couldn't escape the presence of God. Like, you would go in bars, and bars would begin to shut down, and strip joints would begin to shut down because the presence of God was flooding the island of Wales to the point where within 3 years, the cops were called one time. Get it? The cops were called one time because crime disappeared because God was moving. Is that the police said is that literally the only thing that they could do is that they could guard church services because that's the only place where people were. You know, because God was moving so strong. You see, what if God moved so strong in your high school? Come on, that they had to stop math class because prayers were breaking out. Come on, is that they went through and they threw away textbooks because they realized that it wasn't truth that they were teaching because the Spirit of God was convicting them. Come on, what if, man, your lunchroom, and what if there was like a line to get food and there was a line to get healed? You know, so it's like you picked up your tray of food, and then before you went and sat down, you went and got hands laid on you and your broken arm got healed because God was moving so strong. Man, what if you walked down the hallways of your high school and you saw your friends weeping on their knees and repenting before God because the presence of God was so strong and that they couldn't ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit any longer? Come on, what if revival came to an environment near you? Come on, what if revival came? See, and tonight I'm here to tell you is that you are called to be revival. Hear me, you are called to be revival. That's why all of you guys have this sticker in your lap. It's called Hello, My Name is Revival. See, because I just don't want you to really want revival or really desire revival. I want you to realize that you are revival. Come on, you are revival. Come on, if you were at camp, you know that that's something that we walked away with, man, that we just don't want to have revival, but we got to realize that we are revival. We are revival. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, I think it's amazing because if I can look in my environment and see that, man, my environment doesn't look like heaven, well, then guess what? It needs a revival. If I can look in my environment and see, man, that there are dead things around me, there are spiritually dead things around me, there are people living in darkness, then I got to realize is that I'm called to be revival in my environment. Are you guys hearing me? Come on, listen, tonight I want you to stop saying, man, if only Pastor Josh went to school here, revival would be so much easier. You know, or man, if only Pastor Sam would witness to that guy, he would get saved. Or man, if so-and-so were here, or if so-and-so would do, then this would happen. No, you got to realize is that I'm not called to be in your school. You're called to be in your school. You got to realize is that you are the solution to the problem. Come on, you're the solution. You're the answer. You're the revival waiting to happen. Are you hearing me tonight? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, somebody turn to your neighbor and say, hello. Come on, say, hello. My name is revival. Come on, say, hello. My name is revival. So you got to realize is that when you walk in to that dead environment, you're called to be revival. When you walk in to that place, you got to realize is that you are the unexpected move of God waiting to happen. Come on, you're the unexpected move of God waiting to happen. You see, when I study revivals and when I look throughout history, it's because some man or some woman took claim and said, man, this is my school, this is my town, this is my house, this is my city, and I'm not going to let it go to hell. Come on, I'm so sick and I'm so tired of the way things are. Come on, it can't continue like this anymore. Come on, it can't continue like this anymore. It's that I'm the solution to the problem. It's that I'm the solution. Come on, somebody say amen. As I look at where I'm at in my notes, is that you are revival waiting to happen because you are a carrier of revival. Come on, you're a carrier of revival. What do I mean by that? See, I'm not saying tonight that you're a revival waiting to happen because of your own ability or because of your own strength or, man, because of your gifts and because of your talents. Listen, it has nothing to do with you. Absolutely nothing. But it has everything to do with who is on the inside of you. Come on, who's on the inside of you? It is that if you could catch a glimpse of how big the God is that is on the inside of you, man, you would be absolutely unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. You see, you know what separates people who know how to carry the presence of God to the point where they walk in places and atmosphere shift, where they walk in places and people feel conviction for their sin and people want to repent to Christians with the same God inside of them who walk in places and no one feels a thing. I mean, no atmospheres are shifted. You know what the difference between those two people is? Is that this person over here is that they realize what they got. Come on, you got to realize what you got tonight. Listen, you got to flaunt it, man. You got to show it off. Realize what you have. Is that you got the presence of God living on the inside of you. You have the kingdom of God living on the inside of you. I love what Jesus says and what Jesus said. He still says it. But he said this all the time. Jesus went and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Why did he say that? Because he realized that I'm right here. I'm right here. And the kingdom of God is inside of me. So if I'm here, man, the kingdom of God is an arm stretch away. It's an arm stretch away. Tonight, you got to realize, check it out. I'm talking too much. In Romans 8, chapter 11, it says this. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Come on, catch this. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, realize what you have. This is, you know, I think a lot of us are guilty many times of thinking that the Holy Spirit, of like the small God, because there's God the Father and he's powerful, and there's Jesus, man, he died for my sins. Oh, and then there's the Holy Spirit. He's like this small, tiny God. And but you got to realize who the Holy Spirit is. Is the Holy Spirit is just as powerful as God the Father and just as powerful as Jesus. Listen, on the day of creation, right, we read in Genesis chapter 1, it says that God spoke the word. And then who was the word? Jesus was the word. So God the Father, he spoke the word. He spoke Jesus. But who took the word and made it happen? Who took the word and made it happen? The Holy Spirit. Is that I can walk outside, man, and I can see all the phenomenons of nature. Is that, man, I wish I had a picture of the sun for you guys, because the sun like blows my mind. Okay, fun fact about the sun, it is 93 million miles away from Earth. What? That's a long ways. Crazy. Okay, but like when we look at the sun and the universe and just everything around us, we got to realize who created that. Is that the Holy Spirit took the word and made it happen. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit, he still takes the word and makes it happen. Is that the Bible says in Acts 10:38, it says that everything Jesus did, every sickness that Jesus healed, come on, every life Jesus saw touched, every dead person that Jesus raised, I mean, every word of knowledge that Jesus gave, it was all because of one person, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit is available for me and you. Check out what 1 Corinthians 2:9 says. It says, this is what Scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no one has imagined that God has prepared. Let me read it from my verse. That one's tripping me out a little bit. And no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Once again, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Did you just read that? Come on, you can't imagine what God has prepared for you. Everything I just said about your schools and about God wanting you to move in your environment through you, man, that's small scale. That's what I can imagine. But can you imagine what God is imagining for you? Come on, imagine what God is thinking for you. It's so much and it's so great. Man, I love what Mike said during offering, is that your destiny is great. Your destiny is great. Tonight, realize that you're not an accident. You're not a mistake, man. Listen, is that you are chosen on purpose. It says in Isaiah that God chose you. You are chosen by God. What? Like God of the universe chose me? Oh my goodness. Like, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel a little bit, you know, important. Make me stick my chest out a little bit more and walk a little bit straighter. God chose me, sucker. God chose you. Now tonight, I can hear what you're thinking, man. As I can hear the excuses. You know, maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor Josh, God wants to use me like that? God wants to use me like that. Now listen, maybe he wants to use you like that. You know, maybe he wants to use Hunter like that. Man, because I see Hunter's on stage and Hunter's holy. You know what I mean? And God wants to use that youth leader like that, man, because they're just amazing. But do you know who you're talking to? God wants to use me like that. You see, Pastor Josh, is that you don't know my background. Is that you don't know the sin that I struggle with. Is that you don't know where I come from, man. Is that you don't realize how broken my home is. And you're saying that God wants to use me like that. That God wants me to be an unexpected move of God in my environment. Are you crazy? God wants to use me like that. Well, I have some really good news for you, is that Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. He says this, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. Is that I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Somebody say, thanks, Paul. Really building up my confidence here. Just kidding. It says, not many influential, not many from high society families, isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? He chose the nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. Come on, God chose the nobodies to expose the somebodies. You see, I love this because I'm a nobody. You see, if I can be honest with you guys, it's a miracle that I'm up here preaching to you guys, because I grew up with like the worst stutter. Like, I could barely say a sentence without stuttering, especially when I would get excited. Man, it was over. You might as well just walk away. Like, it was like, hey, da, 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 da. Hey, mama, 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 mama. Hey, mama, 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 mama. I couldn't even get out a word, man. And I remember when God called me to preach, like, I laughed. And I said, do you want me to make a fool of myself? Like, I could just see me up here, like, still in the first word, revival. I'm going to get it out sometime. But it's amazing, man, that God always graces you what you're called to do. Is that you got to realize is that there's an anointing on your life because you're chosen. Come on, you're chosen to be above average. You're chosen to be above average. Is that tonight you may think that you're nobody because the world has labeled you a nobody. Man, but let me tell you what, God says you're a somebody. Listen, God says you're important. I know I keep on saying this, but God says you're chosen. It's that you are a somebody in the kingdom. Is that, and when I look at the Bible, I love who I see that God uses to bring radical change to their environments. Like, it's not the perfect Christians. It's not the pastors. I mean, it's not the people who have it all together. Like, it's not the sinless ones with the glowing halo over their crib. No, man. When I read the Bible, I see that God uses liars. He uses adulterers. He uses murderers. He uses cheaters. He uses prostitutes. Man, he uses thugs and gangsters to bring about his will into the earth. So listen, it's not about, man, my past isn't perfect, so God can't use me. It has nothing to do with your past. It has nothing to do with who you were and what you struggle with. It is who he is in you. It is who, because once again, the same God, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. Is that I look at these people and God still used them to be revivalists. He still used them to bring about an unexpected move of God. Is that you are called to be a revivalist. Come on, you're called to be a revivalist. What's a revivalist? Check out this. A revivalist means it's someone who is willing to be used by God to do whatever, whenever, however. Say that again. If you were at camp, you've probably heard this a lot, but it's someone who is willing to be used by God to do whatever, whenever, and however. And so when looking at revivalists throughout history, and especially the life of Jesus, because Jesus was the ultimate revivalist, right? He was the ultimate one, is that you don't get any better than Jesus. But it's evident that all of these men and women adopted what I call a revivalist lifestyle. Come on, a revivalist lifestyle. If tonight you want to say, hello, my name is revival, and have that be more than just a saying, and that be something that you live and to watch God use your life, then you have a lifestyle that you need to adopt. Because I'm here to tell you that revival is not just magically going to fall out of the sky upon you. You know, you're not just going to be walking down the hallway one day, then all of a sudden, boom, revival happens. You're like, where did this come from? Dude, this is crazy. It's not going to happen that way. Is that there's a lifestyle that you have to adopt. Is that if you want heaven to invade earth through you, if you want to bring what's dead back to life, if you want to be an unexpected move, if you want to have an unexpected move of God in your environment, then there's a lifestyle that you have to adopt. And so there's 5 points. So over the next five weeks, we're going to be talking about five different aspects of this lifestyle. And so the first aspect is personal revival. The second aspect is intimacy. The third aspect is prayer and fasting. The fourth aspect is risk-taking. And the fifth aspect is accountability, or you could say community. And so tonight we're going to talk about the first point is personal revival. Somebody say personal Come on, somebody say personal revival. Is that when I look at these men in history who God used so greatly, right, who were once these murderers and liars and cheaters and all this other stuff like that, is that there came some point in their life, some point where they had a personal revival with God, where they had this deep encounter with God, man, that changed the course of their life. And it wrecked them, and absolutely wrecked them. Man, it ruined them from normal, as Pastor Chris Estrada would say. It ruined them from normal. It is that they couldn't go back to the way things were before once they had the encounter. Once they had the encounter. And so what do I mean by personal revival? It's tonight is that I believe that a great definition for personal revival is the surrendering of yourself completely to be used by God to do whatever, whenever, and however. It's the complete surrendering of yourself to be used by God to do whatever, whenever, however. And so one of my favorite revivalists in history is a guy named Moses, or I would consider Moses a revivalist in my mind, just because the way God used him. Man, but when looking at the life of Moses, is that in Exodus chapter 3, is that Moses had his own personal revival. And from what I see is that there's three stages to this personal revival. So tonight, if you say, man, I want to have that personal revival, is that, man, I want to be wrecked by God, man, is that I want to be used by God to change the course of history. Come on, I want to be used by God to change the course of history. And then there are some stages here that I would deeply pay attention to. So if you have your Bibles tonight, how many of you guys brought your Bibles? You guys need to bring your Bibles. How many of you guys are taking notes? That's right. That's right. So Exodus chapter 3, man, go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 here. It says this. It says, one day Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro. Somebody say Jethro, the priest of Midian. Is that he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There was an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't this bush burning up? I must go see it. Verse 4, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, saying, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Now, I think we read the Bible and we take for granted what's happening here because we've heard it like 10,000 times. So like, get this, like Moses is walking throughout like the back of the desert, right? And then all of a sudden this bush catches on fire, which wasn't too out of the ordinary because it was so hot there that things would randomly catch on fire. You know, like how crazy is that? So I don't know if like there was a cat walking and poof, it caught on fire. Ugly situation, you know what I mean? But no, all right, so here's Moses, and Moses is walking through the desert, and this bush catches on fire, no big deal, and Moses, I guess, is just caught up by looking at this bush, and he realizes that this bush is not burning, like, away. Like, this bush is staying constantly on fire. And then he goes, wow, what's going on with this bush? I'm going to go check out this bush. And so Moses steps close, and all of a sudden he hears, Moses! Moses is like, what? Yo, this bush just talked to me. Like, I know it's hot, but this bush just talked to me. Moses! Yo, you see that sheep? So he goes, yeah? Is that the first point is this? Is that if you want to say, hello, my name is Revival, then you have to respond to God. Then you have to respond to God. Is that I love this, is because Moses responded to God. I mean, is that what if Moses, when that bush said, hey, Mo, he said, oh, man, I'm out of here, bro. I ain't talking to no fiery talking bush. Like, but like, what if Moses, because listen, I'm playing it up, but I'm sure it was a very holy moment. Man, but what if Moses had rejected God in that moment? See, I love this verse because it says Moses went to take a closer look at what was going on. Come on, God is looking for somebody who's willing to take a closer look. Come on, he's willing for somebody, man, to step in a little bit closer. Come on, he's willing for somebody to say, man, I'm done with the status quo. I'm done with the way things are. God, I'm coming close. God, I don't care how deep you get in my heart. I don't care how much you mess up my junk. God, I'm coming to get a little bit closer. I'm coming to get a little bit closer. If you want revival, if you want personal revival in your life, because listen, why is personal revival so important? Because before it ever happened in a region, it happened in a heart. Come on, before revival ever happened in Wales, it happened in a heart. Before revival ever happened in Israel, it happened in Moses' heart. Come on, your school is waiting for you to get this in your heart. Because it's not going to happen unless it happens to you. He said, man, we can have good prayer meetings, we can have good services, but man, until you get it, they're not gonna get it because you gotta be the carrier of it. Are you feeling me? So let's pick up and see what happens in verse 5. And so Moses replies and he says, here I am, Moses replied in verse 5, don't come any closer. The Lord warned, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Wow. So point number two is that if you want to say, hello, my name is revival, then you have to remove what is unholy from your life. Then you got to remove what is unholy from your life. Now listen, I've heard this preached tons of ways about what the sandals would represent. And to be honest with you, I'm still not sure what the sandals represent. Is that they could represent, man, where Moses had been. I mean, the junk that Moses had been carrying with him throughout his entire life. And when he got in the presence of God, God says, man, you got to remove that stuff. You got to take it off. But this is what I do know, is that God thought that those sandals were unholy. And so he said, before you can step into my presence, is that, man, before you can have your own personal revival, before you can get wrecked, before you can be ruined for normal, man, you got to take off what's unholy from your life. And so tonight, there are some things that we know that God calls sandals in his word. Things like sexual impurity, things like language, things like the movies that I watch, the things that I listen to, man, that I know that aren't godly, man, that I know that I shouldn't be doing. Maybe it's the way that I talk with certain people. Maybe it's certain people in my life that I know that shouldn't be there. Is that those things are holding me back from the presence of God. And God is saying, listen, I want you to come and take a closer look. But before you do, there are some things from your life that have to be removed. Because they're unholy and they're holding you back from me. So tonight, what's that for you? Man, what are your sandals? Come on, man, is it an insecurity? Is it a group of friends? Is it sexual impurity? Man, is it the way you talk? What is it for you? What are those things that God is calling you to get rid of? You know, I thought it was really interesting when I was studying about the revival of the Hebrides, is that we talked about a few weeks ago, but right, it started with these two old ladies, right, praying in a barn. Not praying in a barn. These two old ladies praying in their house on Tuesday nights from like 10 o'clock p.m. to like 4 a.m. in the morning. It was ridiculous. And so they would fast and pray every Tuesday. And from that, these group of young guys, these seven guys who just began to cry out for God to move. Cry out for God to move. And in one of these prayer meetings, one of these young men is that they stood up and they said, how can we ask God to cleanse our land when we're not clean ourselves? How can we ask God to cleanse our land when we're not clean ourselves? Is that, man, I can pray for revival all day. Is that, man, I can want God to move all day. And my heart can absolutely burn for it. But I'm being a hypocrite if I want to see it out there, but I'm not willing to have it in here. Come on, it has to happen in here first. What did God say? He said, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Only those with clean hands and pure hearts. Come on, God is calling a generation to be clean and a generation to be pure. Listen, don't rob yourself from seeing God, because it also says in Matthew 5, it says that only the pure in heart will see God. So if you want to see God move, you need purity in your life. So you got to take off your sandals and remove what's unholy. So
the last point, how does this all, I always preach so late. How does this always happen? In verse 7, we pick up the story here. It says, then the Lord told him, is that I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. Is that I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. Realize tonight, God is saying to you, listen, I see that kid in your school who's suffering and who's dying and who's going to hell. I mean, I see that girl in your school who cries herself to sleep every single night. And I'm calling you. I'm sending you. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land, is a land flowing with milk and honey. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh, is that you must lead my people out of Egypt. So the third point is this, is that if you want to say, hello, my name is Revival, if you want to have personal revival in your life, then you have to say yes. Then you have to say yes. You see, I love reading the story because if you read the story like God's telling this to Moses, and Moses begins to argue with God. Like, how do you argue with God? Like, God's like, I want to send you. And Moses is like, no, you don't. God's like, yes, I do. And Moses is like, no, you don't. And like, God and Moses are like in this arguing match back and forth. And God's like, Moses is like, but God, no one's even going to believe I'm from you. And God's like, don't worry. I'm going to give you signs and wonders. And he's like, but God, I stutter. And God's like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And then like, it's this wrestling match. And finally, Moses says, yes, God, I'll go. See, what if Moses had said no? What if Moses had walked away? Moses could have drawn close, man. Moses could have taken off the sandals and rid himself of what was unholy from his life. But none of it meant anything if Moses never said yes. See, what I felt tonight, what God was really wanting to do in the room, is that I believe God wants an unconditional yes. Because I believe too many times is that our yes is based on conditions. Our yes is based on conditions. Is that we say, okay, God, I'll say yes if this happens. Or I'll say yes when I'm comfortable. Or I'll say yes if I pray enough. Or I'll say yes if and when and if and when and if and when. Listen, God doesn't want if and when. He wants just yes. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He wants your yes. Is that all God needs is a yes. Once again, I love that God used murderers, he used adulterers, he used harlots, he used prostitutes, he used liars, cheaters, deceivers, whatever. But at one point, all these guys, they said, okay, God, I'll say yes. I'll say yes to what you're calling me to. God, I'll say yes to the impossible. God, I'll say yes to embarrassing myself. God, I'll say yes to being uncomfortable. God, I'll say yes to bringing revival in my environment, one person at a time. God, I'll say yes. God, no matter what it costs me, God, no matter what friends I lose, God, no matter who hates me because of you, God, I'll say yes because you're worth it. God, I'll say yes. And you know, I believe God is looking for a yes that's a yes when things are good, when things are bad. That God wants a yes when you're discouraged. That God wants a yes when you don't understand what's going on around you. That God just wants a yes. You know, I'll end it here, is that there's a verse in the Bible that I absolutely love. It's Jesus has this huge multitude around him of thousands of people. And Jesus tells this multitude, he says, if you want to be a part of me, you must drink my blood and eat my flesh. And he cuts it off there. And so everybody's like, yo, Jesus done lost his mind. And so like everybody jets, but the 12 disciples. Is it only these 12 men left? Because everyone else is like, this is a hard saying. Jesus, you're crazy. We can't take it. I'm not nibbling on your arm no matter what you say to me. And so then Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, do you want to leave too? Like, talk about being secure in who you are. Do you want to leave too? And I love what Peter says. He says, but Jesus, who else has the words of life? God, where else can we go? is that I believe God wants us to say yes to him so much, man, that is that it's impossible to say yes to anything else, to where Jesus is our only option, to where it's like, God, you're all I got. I don't have a plan B. I don't have a plan C. I don't have a plan D. God, if this doesn't work out, God, you have my yes, and that is it. That's it. Yes. Come on, so tonight, if you want to have a personal revival, is that number one, you got to respond to God. You got to be willing to take a closer look. Number two, who remembers number two? You have to remove what's unholy. And I did not wear these sandals tonight as a prophetic act. I wish I would have. I did not. And lastly, what's the third one? Awesome. So eyes closed and head and heads bowed. Like I said, tonight, man, as you're going through this series, I believe God wants you to have your own personal revival. And I believe God wants you to say yes. Is that we're not going to make this long tonight. We're not going to make this dramatic. We're not going to make this drawn out, because I believe it's just a simple heart decision of saying, God, I'll say yes. Come on, God, no matter the conditions, no matter what it is, I'll say yes. You know, and maybe tonight you're wearing some sandals. You got some unholy things from your life that you got to remove, man, that you got to take off before God can really use you the way he wants you, because God is calling you to be a clean and a pure vessel. Some of you guys just need to respond to God. So tonight, if you fall into any one of those three categories, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, if your hand's up, man, just go ahead and stand up. If your hand's up, just go ahead and stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I just want you to stand up. Come on, if that's you tonight. If you say, man, I got some things I need to remove, or I mean, I just want to give God my unconditional yes tonight to bring change in my environment, to bring change in my environment. Is there anybody else? 10 more seconds. Okay, and with every eye closed, I have to ask one more thing. If you're in this place and you do not know Jesus Christ as the Lord of your Savior, come on, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Is that you don't know Jesus? Is that maybe you know about God? Maybe you've been in church your whole entire life, but you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight is your night. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You say, what do I need to be saved from, Pastor Josh? What is this salvation thing? Is that you, the Bible says, is that you were born into sin, and this sin was separating you from God for forever, and it was sending you to hell for an eternity. But God loves you so much that he came in and that he died for your sin. Why did Jesus have to die for your sin? Because there's always a penalty that had to be paid. There was a price that had to be paid for your sin. So Jesus came and he stepped in and he says, I'll take your place. I'll take your place on the cross. Man, I'll die for your sin. I'll shed my blood for you. Why did he do that? Because he wants a relationship with you. This Christianity thing, man, it's not about rules. It's not about regulations. You know, it's not about even being good. Man, it's about getting in relationship with God. All that being good and rule stuff, man, he'll take care of that later. But it starts with this. It starts with coming into relationship with him. So tonight, if you're not in relationship with him, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand with every eye closed and every head bowed. One, two, three. Is there anybody in this place? One hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? 10 more seconds. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? All right, awesome. I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. And when we say this prayer, we're not just like quoting words, and these words are magically going to get you saved and all this other stuff like that. It's making a heart choice and saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the way that I'm living. God, I'm choosing to follow you for all of my life. So I want you to pray this. I want you to say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Right now, I repent of all of my sins. God, forgive me for living apart from you. Right now, I confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life is that I commit myself to following you and to be in a relationship with you for all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're standing up tonight, I just want you to raise your hands. I just want you to raise your hands. In fact, can we all just stand up? Let's just all stand up as we close. And let's just all just raise our hands tonight. And we just say, I just want you to say, God, tonight you have my yes. Come on, say, God, no matter the discouragement, no matter the confrontation, no matter the pain, no matter if I'm hated, you still have my yes. I want you to say, God, tonight create personal, come on, personal revival in me. God, I surrender my will to your will. God, bend my will to your will. I surrender everything in my life that's not of you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Awesome, man. Listen, I love you guys so much. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you next week for part two of Hello, My Name is Revival. Listen, take those stickers, man, and put them on your Bibles. Put them where somewhere you can see it. Be reminded that you are revival. We love you guys. We'll see you later.